February 27th, 1986.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Today's program will begin momentarily, but first, let me remind you that our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. Please confine your remarks to the subject material being discussed on today's program and be as brief as possible so others may call in too. Now, here's your host for Feedback, Tom Trulson, along with today's guest.
And good morning. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Feedback Program. 5 minutes now past 10 o'clock. And Ted Brewer is back with us. And this morning we're going to be talking about clean and unclean food. And Ted, somehow I get the impression you're not going to be talking about washing our food before we eat it. Am I correct?
Not this morning, Tom. That's another lecture. But
where do we want to start?
Well, before we get started, I just want to make sure that everybody understands where I'm coming from and that I'm not legalistic in the fact that I believe that if we do not eat exactly according to the Old Testament dietary customs, that we're going to lose our salvation. I don't believe that at all. As a matter of fact, I believe that you can eat all the high-fat food, all the sugar, all the pork, everything that you want to eat and still get to heaven.
Probably get there a little sooner than the rest of us.
Get there a lot quicker, and that's right. And that's the point that we're trying to make this morning. I don't want this feedback presentation this morning to turn into a debate versus Old Testament versus New Testament, because we all know the scriptures, and what we're going to do is just kind of walk through them and hopefully shed some light on an area that's pretty fuzzy in a lot of Christians' minds.
Basically, what you're concerned with is eating healthy.
That's right. What I want to do is allow us all to simply agree on the healthiest way to eat.
Right.
And in fact, the AMA and the FDA and everybody else has now said that a low-fat, high-fiber, low-protein diet is the most healthy way to eat. Now, if we go back into the Old Testament, back into Genesis, what type of diet did God tell Adam and Eve to eat? High fiber, low
fruit.
Fat, low
mm-hmm.
protein, fruit and grains. In fact, the people that God made here on earth, Adam and Eve, they weren't even allowed to eat meat until after the flood. Now, I don't know exactly why that happened. One physiologist told me that he thought that the reason that happened is because before the flood, there was no rain on the earth. Okay, the dew settled in the morning, and he said that we were primarily open dwellers, and we really didn't have a lot of habitats and buildings to live in. But after the rain started, obviously we had to build shelter, and he said because of the shelter, we were no longer outside in the sun, which means we didn't get as much vitamin D synthesis as we needed. And so then God released them to eat. I mean, I don't know, okay, because that sounds like, you know, it could be who knows what, but that's what he had said, one physiologist. But we need to look at some of the Old Testament laws, and before we get really into the clean and unclean foods, let's look at some of the basic laws of God. Let's look at the law of gravity, for instance. Now, whether you believe in the law of gravity or I believe in the law of gravity doesn't make any difference. If we step off the top of a 10-story building, when we hit the ground, we're going to find ourselves very seriously dead. Okay? And this is so true in so many of the other things that we do with the Old Testament and God's natural laws. For instance, did Jesus believe in the law of gravity?
Yes.
Obviously, when he was on the temple with Satan, and Satan said, cast yourself down, Jesus said, I will not cast myself down. So he did not break God's natural law there, because he said, don't test the Lord your God. Well, there are many natural laws of physics, of biochemistry, and all these other things that God put into play from the beginning of the world. And that's just the way he made us. People say to me, well, it's okay to eat certain types of food now, because in the Old Testament, they didn't have refrigeration. And now they have refrigeration, so that means it's okay to eat it. Well, do you think God knew that we were going to have refrigeration in the year 2000? Of course he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I believe that our God, and I know that our God, being a God of scientifics and mathematics and biochemistry, he would have said, little appendix there in the bottom would have said, by the way, when you find out what refrigeration is, it's okay to eat these types of food. But he didn't. In fact, in the Old Testament, he was very, very adamant about certain types of food that we were not and were to eat. And I believe this is the proper way to eat and the healthiest way to eat. But again, we have our choice. Remember, in Corinthians it said, everything is beneficial. Excuse me, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And so, again, we have the option of what we want to eat.
So, in other words, it's permissible to eat it, but it may not be good for you.
Well, it probably is not good for you, according to all the latest statistics. Now, let's look back at Jesus, because he's the one who's the author, the finisher of our faith. He's the one that we're supposed to emulate during this life. Did he eat pork?
Not that I'm aware of.
He did not. He was a Jew. And as a Jew, he came as the perfect sacrifice for us, which means he fulfilled all of the Old Testament laws, including the dietary laws, which means he did not eat pork, period. Now, Jesus was a conservationist, you could say. You know, remember when he fed the 5,000, Tom, how he had his disciples go out and re-pick up all the bread pieces and the fish, and he, you know, had all the basketfuls left?
Mm-hmm.
Now, doesn't it seem strange that him being such a conservationist, thank you, that when he sent the demons out of the man, where did he send them?
Into the swine.
Into the swine. I promise you, Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament laws, and he did not eat swine. Or obviously, he couldn't have been a perfect sacrifice for us. And see, this is what we tend to sometimes forget about. And I want to talk to people mainly today about the fat and the blood and all the other things associated with unclean foods, because in the Old Testament, it also tells us not to eat blood and not to eat fat. Now, we know that fat now, and the AMA, now, this is what I find so humorous. 2,000 years ago, when God put all this word down and all the books, and even further along than that, he said, do not eat blood, do not eat fat. Okay? Now the AMA and the FDA are saying low-fat diets are the way to go. Well, do you just think that maybe because God put us together, he knew what we should and shouldn't eat? And he knew what plugged up the plumbing, okay? And now all these heart bypasses and all these different types of surgery have been shown that if you do not correct your diet with the surgery, that you end up with another bypass because the fat levels get back into the tissue.
So all of the talk about low fat and high fiber is just going back to what God said
all
along.
What God said to begin with. And it's so amusing to me that the people now, the AMA and the FDA, they've made this big revelation, this new discovery. And if you go back into God's Word, we as Christians have had that for centuries. And it's just amazing that people have not looked at the Old Testament. Did Jesus come to abolish the Old Testament or to fulfill it?
Fulfill.
Of course he did. He never said that a stroke of the pen would be taken away from the Old Testament laws. Of course, he gave us the ability to say, okay, you can do as you wish to do, but the consequences will be upon your own shoulders. For instance, in Corinthians, let's everybody open our Bibles real quick while we're here, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Excuse me as I look this up.
Which chapter are we looking for?
Well,
let me know when you get there.
Okay. Okay. We're looking at chapter 3, verses 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm reading out of the NIV. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Now, that's pretty strong, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know that God doesn't destroy anyone as far as coming down and hitting you with a lightning bolt or anything like that. But let me ask you a question, Tom. If he told you in the Old Testament the types of foods that you should and shouldn't eat and the diseases and everything else that are going to come upon you if you do eat these types of foods, then who destroyed the temple? The natural laws did through yourself, through your own ignorance. And Hosea says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And that's so true today. Now, let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 58 through 61. Now remember, now we take a bunch of the Old Testament, like the Psalms and the Proverbs, and we use them all the time, and we say, well, the other stuff doesn't count. I've heard Christians say that. That's not true. It's all God's Word. Verse 58. If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. Tom, what's cancer? Severe and lingering illness. How about diabetes? How about heart disease? And we're talking about all the words of this law, which means all of the Old Testament laws. Now, God broke them down into three categories, basically, or four categories. The first was man's relationship to God. The second one was man's relationship to man. The third were the sanitary laws, and the fourth type of law were the dietary laws. Now, we've basically taken care of the sanitary laws, and we've taken care of man's relationship to God in a lot of our churches. We really have learned how to worship God. We still have a couple of them that we need to work on. Man's relationship to man's pretty rough sometimes, and dietary laws, we still don't look at them, and we don't think about them.
Why is that? If we're so eager to deal with our relationship with man and our relationship with God, why do we have a tendency to be slack as far as dietary habits?
Well, Tom, what I've found out in our office and stuff is that people simply don't have the knowledge. That so many people have dwelled continually upon the New Testament, which is great, okay? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, that they've never gone back to look at God's total and complete work through the Old Testament. And once they begin to realize why the certain foods are no good and why they should be avoided, then they begin to say, well, you know, I know why God said that now. It's kind of like God's wisdom at times is foolishness to men, you know, and that's why we look at it. You know, the Bible even says that. But, you know, man's foolishness of so many times is man's wisdom is foolishness to God. And that's how we have to look at the reality of it. Because if God says don't eat pork because it's a filthy, it's abomination that, you know, cut the people off their swine, they eat these idol foods and all these other things. And he says all these horrible things about pork, which we'll read about in a few minutes. But we continue to do that. And it's so many times because we don't know. Now, let's go back to fat. Why is fat so bad? We've talked about it. It plugs up the arteries. It plugs up the aortas and all the blood vessels in the body. Well, how about blood? The Bible says don't eat blood. Where's the disease? If you have a diseased animal, where's the disease carried through?
The blood.
The blood. Okay? If a human being dies, the first thing that the person does as far as, you know, the embalming person is to take the blood out. And then they put embalming fluid into the tissue because if the blood doesn't come out of the tissue, the person starts to decay within a matter of hours.
But you're not going to purchase meat from a diseased animal, are you?
Well, Tom, I wish that was true, but let me read you a little article here from FDA.
Do we really want to hear this?
No, but since you ask, I'll go ahead and go through it. Dr. Manley, who is an expert, now this is from the Wesley Medical Center in Wichita, Kansas, and this was a special conference that was held several years ago. And Dr. Manley, who is an expert on animal diseases, made the statement that autopsies on human beings show that 1 out of 3 people are infected with trichinosis. And this means that there's a tremendous increase in the spread of the subtle killer, crippler, and killer. Now, you see, the thing that's amazing to me is they have taken trichinosis larvae. Now, the people who don't know what trichinosis is, it's an infestation of worms that lives in the muscle tissue of the human body. And there are literally, a person who has trichinosis, there are billions and billions of these organisms living off of our flesh.
Hmm.
Now, the thing that's so frightening about it is that there is no cure. They've taken trichinosis and they have heated it up in what we call autoclaves in biochemistry, which means they have incredible pressure, incredible temperatures, a lot higher than you could ever cook. Okay, you could singe it and it could be black and it wouldn't be as hot as an autoclave would get. And they examine the flesh after it comes out of the autoclave and the trichinosis, some of them are still alive.
Hmm. In other words, you can't cook it out of the meat then?
Not if it's in there. Most of the time it's impossible to cook it out. I don't see how you could cook it out. And that's a fallacy that we've been told. And it's so scary to me because, you know, trichinosis, there is no cure. And, you know, a lot of diseases that doctors diagnose as other symptoms and stuff are trichinosis diseases.
And the FDA is aware of this.
The FDA is very, very aware of it. Let me read you a little article here directly from the from New York, from the FDA Public Health Center. It says, pork process in the United States is not examined for trichinosis in routine post-slaughter inspection of carcasses. Scientists at the Public Health Service Center for Disease Control have warned. They further warned that until some legislation is passed requiring proper inspection of pork for the dreaded parasite known as Trichinella spiralis, no guarantee can be given to anyone partaking of pork contracting trichinosis.
If they're aware of that, why isn't something done?
Well, Tom, they know that sodium saccharin causes cancer, but they let us take it. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of the major automobile manufacturers, they realize that a certain percentage of their seatbelts are going to fail and a certain percentage of people are going to die because the seatbelts failed. But it's not worth quality control to be upgraded to a certain point to overtake that. They'd rather go ahead and suffer from the lawsuits because the lawsuits are going to be less money.
But I get the impression here we're not talking about a certain percentage.
No. There is no trichinosis testing for any type of pork on the market today, period, by the FDA.
Do you foresee that perhaps changing in the future?
Well, I foresee.
Sure, you'd like to.
Well, I hopefully hope and foresee that just, you know, through the broadcasts and books and stuff that are on trichinosis and on pork now, that God's people will avoid this dreaded meat and simply not eat it. As far as getting rid of trichinosis, I don't see how they're going to stop it. For instance, pork, when it starts to rot, it rots from the inside out. Beef starts to rot on the outside in. Okay, so when pork starts to rot, it has to be totally destroyed and totally gotten rid of because it's just. Well, let me read you another excerpt here. Several years ago, a government meat inspector told the owner of a meat locker plant in Grenada, Minnesota, if the dates on the packaged pork products run past a specific given date, I must condemn all the meat in the locker because there's no way that it can be clean anymore.
Right.
Now, let's look at what pork eat. What do pigs eat?
Just about anything you'll give them.
They eat anything. They'll even eat cancers off of other pigs.
Hmm.
If one pig gets sick and lays down and has cancer tumors all over its body, the other pig will come in and eat the tumors off of its body. And within 4 hours, that tumor, that cancer, is turned into flesh on the pork. And that's pretty scary when you think about it. And you see, how do we define health in this country? We define it as the absence of a major disease. And we don't look at God's dietary laws and all the other things. So if people have fatigue or insomnia or sinus trouble or indigestion, heartburn, or if they're constipated, have allergies, headaches, corns, stress, weak muscle tone, if they're irritable, nervous, or depressed, they're still healthy in this country. So the way we define illness in this country is if you have heart disease, diabetes, or cancer. And we've spoken about this several times on the show. And see, this is what we're trying to do here. We're trying to make people realize that what they put into their temple, their bodies, is definitely going to have an effect upon their health.
Seems like whenever you're here, Ted, nothing personal, but I lose my appetite.
Thank you, Tom.
No more bacon for breakfast?
Well, if you could read some of the books and stuff, if anybody wants to call into our office, we can give them some studies and stuff on different books that they could read about pork. And I can't see how if anyone can read these things, they can possibly go ahead and continue to consume pork. Because it's just that bad. And now I want to be honest with you here. Years ago, I used to eat pork, you know, because I didn't know any better, because no one had ever told me what I'm telling you now.
Mm-hmm.
And until I realized exactly how bad pork was and how bad other unclean foods were, I had no idea of the dangers associated with them. And, you know, and this is something that most people are, you know, deal with. You know, I used to eat pork chops. Now they repulse me. Okay, because, you know, I used to think they tasted great. In fact, at one time, I used to say pork's my favorite meat. Well, why is that? It's high in fat. The fat makes it taste good. What does God also tell us not to eat? The fat. Okay? And so what we end up doing is plugging up the plumbing and then wondering why God put this disease on us. Well, did God put it on us? No way. We put it upon ourselves.
Now, you had talked about not being able to cook out the trichinosis. What about red meat that has blood in it that could be diseased? Can that be cooked out or...
Well, the red meat that has blood in it can be kosher by soaking it in salt water overnight. But let me show you something. I want everybody to turn with me to Acts chapter 15. And I want to read you something here. Remember when Paul was, in Peter and them were writing a letter to the Gentile believers? Acts chapter 15. I want you to look at verses 28. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Now, this is to the Gentile believers to help them not to be burdened, because a lot of the Old Testament Jews were really trying to, you know, tell them you've got to be circumcised, you've got to be this and all the other things. Well, doesn't it seem funny here that out of the four things that are listed that the Gentiles are not supposed to do, three of them are diet-related? See, people don't think about that. They say, well, you know, we can eat what we want. Yeah, sure, we can eat whatever we want to eat. And we bear in our own bodies the consequences. If you consume 67 teaspoons of sugar a day, which is what the average American consumes, there's a very, very high probability you're going to end up being diabetic. Did God make you diabetic? No. You made yourself diabetic because you didn't limit what you ate. You were in excess with the things that you did. The same thing if you eat, you know, 2 pounds of Crisco a day and you end up with heart disease when you're 30 years old. Did God give you heart disease? No. And that's all we're trying to do to discuss this today. Now, they say there's four things that they list here that they should avoid. Now, let me ask you, Tom, they didn't list the Ten Commandments in there. Does that mean that the Gentile believers don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments?
Nope.
No. Okay. All they did, they tried to simplify this thing for these guys who were all new believers.
It's 10:23. Let me remind the audience, this is a Thursday edition of Feedback, and the phone lines are open this morning. If you have a question or a comment, 858-3805, that number to call. And if you don't mind, let us know where you're calling in from. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Cypress Gardens. I'd like to know, you was talking about pork and that how unclean it was. I was wondering, we have a big place, and we was thinking about getting a pig to raise, a fattening pig to raise, to put in our freezer. That's not a good idea?
Not as far as I'm concerned, ma'am.
No. Cow would be better?
Now, cow's okay. A cow is clean food. Now, let me tell you, though, something about cows. The Old Testament says it's okay to eat, you know, beef. Mm-hmm. Now, but the way they kill the beef in the Old Testament is different than they kill it today. The Old Testament priest would go out and they would slice the jugular vein while the cow was still alive. They hadn't hit it in the head or anything. It was just standing there. And if it was done properly, the cow didn't feel anything. And it would sit there and the heart would pump all the blood out of its body while it was still alive. Now, you remember, I just read to you in Acts that it says absolutely no blood. This is for Gentile believers. Well, the way that beef is cooked and slaughtered nowadays is with the blood left in it. You know, it's either electrically, you know, electrocuted, or it's given a, you know, it's either shot in the head, and all the blood's left to permeate the tissue.
Yeah.
And the blood is very bad because, you know, people say, well, blood carries, you know, the nutrients to the tissue, but it also carries toxins away from the tissue. This is the same thing. The Old Testament tells us not to eat the internal organs. And it's the same reason for that, because the liver is the detoxifying organ of the body. It pulls all the toxins and poisons from the blood. And so what do? We turn around and we eat the liver. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Sure, it may have a lot of nutrients in it, but it's got a lot of toxins in it, too. That's why God said in his divine wisdom, you know, he created us, don't eat the internal organs.
Well, so you were saying about the pig, you know, that if it had, if it was another pig in there, that it would eat the cancers off, and then it goes to the fat or to the meat. Well, say like we only had one and we just fed it grain, would that make any difference?
Well, let's say you have a rat that runs across the pig's territory one time, and the rat has cancer tumors on it. The pig will eat the rat.
Ugh.
The pig will eat anything.
My God.
You know, they're that kind of animal. And see, they're an abomination in God's eyes. And if you, I've got some other Old Testament verses that we can look through that really just kind of shake things up even worse than this. But that's what I guess we'll go to next.
Yeah, I used to like pork chops.
Well, I just highly recommend that you don't.
Okay.
Let me read to you out of Isaiah chapter 65, verses 2 to 6. I have verses 2 to 6. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walk in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. So they're saying they're holier than God, that we can eat what we want to eat. And this is characteristic, I'm afraid, of many present-day religious groups. Mm-hmm. Behold, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, or pay back, even recompense into their bosom. Now, you know, that's the same Isaiah who promises all the wonderful things and all the prophecies. Well, he's saying that also. So many times we forget about it. Here's another one out of Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 17. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, judgment and warfare will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Now, you know, we can do what we want to do, but, you know, God's judgment follows disobedience, period. And we don't like to think about this so many times as Christians, but, you know, there is an Old Testament law, and it tells us what we should and shouldn't eat. And again, as we mentioned at the beginning of this show, you can eat all the pork you want to eat, but don't let it, you know, that you weren't warned. Remember, Proverbs says that the curse causeless shall not come. So if you're cursed and you've got these problems that the Old Testament talked about, there's a reason you got it. You didn't just get set up by God to get these things because you didn't do anything wrong. And so we can do what we want to do and get to heaven, but you got to remember, you know, our temples, our bodies are God's temple. And, you know, what does he think about it? Because he knows the Old Testament's there. He wrote it.
Yeah.
We appreciate your call this morning.
Okay, thank you.
It's 10:27. I don't know why, but also that new song that Leon Patillo comes to mind. One thing leads to another.
That's right.
There are always consequences to what we do.
Now, there's one other thing I want to go into in detail here, and we're talking about clean and unclean foods, and I'm going to read you some of the different clean and unclean foods in a moment. Dr. Kerry Reams, one of the noted physiologists who actually worked with Dr. Einstein, Albert Einstein, did many studies on what we call reserve energy in the body. And he said that there's two types of energy that our system had. The first was reserve, and the second one was available. Okay, the reserve energy in case we fast, that we don't have to worry. You wonder why people can fast for weeks and not eat food. Well, that's because of reserve energy. He did many mathematical studies on reserve energy and proved that when we eat unclean food, that we have a total reduction in reserve energy, and our body cannot heal itself. And we're talking about pork. Okay, we're talking about shellfish, we're talking about oysters, we're talking about shrimp, we're talking about crabs, we're talking about lobsters. And we say, well, why are they so bad, Ted? Well, what are they? They're filter feeders, and what they do is they're the primary consumer in the ocean. They're the ones who clean up the sewage. And oysters and a lot of the shellfish and mollusks, they have no means of excretion, which means all the poisons and toxins that come into them stay in them. In fact, you all know that many times during the year, there are certain months you cannot eat oysters because the temperature is too high and the bacteria count goes too high, and you get deathly sick if you eat them. We've seen people at an office up in DeLand who had eaten oysters and a lot of shellfish, and they came in for a series of problems with their colon, and they actually passed a clump of parasites, of worms that were as big as a softball.
Mm.
And you see, and what happens is you infest your body with all these different types of parasites, and it's scary. And, you know, and but see, the thing about it is the Old Testament says, don't eat these types of foods. But what do we do in our little divine wisdom, or so we think? Well, we can eat whatever we want to eat because everything is permissible. But we forget that not everything is beneficial.
All right. Let's go back to the phone. It's 1029. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Terry Bowden from Lakeland. My question is, often I buy hamburger meat that's just full of blood.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that out of there?
Well, what you can do is you can soak it overnight in a heavy salt solution in water to make sure you rinse it with distilled water to get as much of the salt out as you can. My suggestion to you is to find hamburger meat that has been kosher certified, which has been bled before it was butchered.
Is that where the rabbis go in and watch the ones butcher the meat and stuff?
That's right, and it's kosher certified. That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that done in a lot of locations? I mean,
I haven't been able to find any, Tom.
Hmm.
Okay, and that's, you know, it's very, you can get it out in California, but I haven't seen it at all in this area.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go back to the phone. It's 10:30. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I'm calling from Valrico,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to make a couple of comments. First, I'm really glad that this subject is being addressed on the air. I was introduced to this about 4 years ago by my Sunday school teacher, and she said that she had known about this for 7 years, and in that 7 years, she had had maybe one cold as opposed to one or two a winter before then. And since I have changed over and have not eaten pork and the shellfish and some of the other things, I have been far less sick the last 4 years than I was previously. And so it really does work. And another thing is that when you travel, most of the major airlines or any major form of transportation that provides meals, you can order kosher meals. And I have done this since then. And that has worked really well. But it's no extra trouble to them if you get caught out and have to have a meal when you're traveling.
Okay. Thank you very much. In fact, we just got back off our vacation, and we had ordered vegetarian platters on the airlines, which I think I should have ordered kosher.
We appreciate your call.
Thank you so much. Let me read you some other. Now, we're going to give you our address in a few moments, and you can write to our office, and we can send you a complete exhaustive list on clean and unclean foods. But let me read a few of them to you. Unclean foods as far as sea fish are blue marlin, eel, lamprey, mackerel, octopus, squid, swordfish, tuna, whale, crab, lobster, shrimp, oyster, scallops, and prawns. And yes, I did say tuna. It is unclean. Sea fish as far as clean foods, you can eat bass, bluefish, butterfish, cod, flounder, grouper, haddock, halibut, herring, kipper, mullet, pompano, porgy, red snapper, rosefish, salmon, sardines, sea trout, sole, and whiting.
So there's a lot of seafood.
There's a lot of stuff
eat.
You can eat. That's right. And so what we do is just avoid eating the foods. God says don't eat anything that lives in the ocean that does not have fins and scales. It has to have fins and scales. That means you don't eat eels and all these other slithery things. You don't eat catfish because they're all bottom feeders, and they're the ones that clean up. They're the septic tank of the ocean.
Hmm.
Game that can be eaten, clean as buffalo, caribou, deer, elk, and moose for you hunters, and I'm sure you're happy to hear that. Unclean are armadillo, bear, beaver, muskrat, possum, rabbit, raccoon, squirrel, wild boar, and woodchuck. I have a friend of mine who came by the office for nutritional counseling several months ago. And she worked with animal conservation and rehabilitation of wildlife. And she told me that a friend of hers who was a pathologist here in the area had just done an autopsy on a man who had eaten an armadillo. And he died within 3 days with intestinal parasites.
Hmm.
And God says, don't eat it. But, you know, of course, in our little wisdom, we can do what we want to do. So, you know, but see, you have to remember, like the law of gravity, God's natural law is, you know, you can break them, but you bear in your own body the consequences of breaking the law. And if you step off a 10-story building, whether or not you believe in the law of gravity, like we mentioned, doesn't make a bit of difference. And so this is something you need to be aware of. Red meats that are clean is beef, lamb, mutton, and veal. Unclean, do not eat pork, dog, horse, or mule. Poultry and game birds, clean are capon chicken, Cornish hen, dove, grouse, guinea fowl, lark, partridge, pheasant, pigeons, quail, snipe, and turkey are okay. Unclean, do not eat ducks, eagles, falcons, goose, or ospreys. And a lot of this is listed in the Old Testament. Now, we can send you a list like this and other lists if you do write our office, which will give you the address later on in the program.
All right. In a few moments, we need to come back to the phone. We have two callers holding. It's 10:33, and you're listening to Feedback. We're halfway through the program. We're going to take a 30-second break, and we'll be right back with more.
WCIE, with love you can listen to.
Know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Listen to the love of Jesus, on His radio, WCIE.
It's 10:34. We're back live with a Thursday edition of Feedback. Let's go right back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Lakeland. I've read in the Bible, now I don't really know where or anything, but it said that as long as you pray over the food and bless it, it's clean. Is that true, or am I getting
let's go to that scripture and let's look at what it says, okay?
Okay.
Now, I know exactly what you're talking about. Believe me, I've addressed this one before, okay?
Right.
Okay, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Let's look at what it says.
Okay.
1 Timothy 4,
1 through 5.
Okay.
Okay. It says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer." Now, the King James reads, "For every creature of God is good." Okay? Well, you think pork is a creature of God?
Yes.
Well, hang on a minute. A creature of God, referring to the Old Testament, means clean and unclean food. That's what it's talking about here, okay? Let's look at another thing. If we believe that every single thing that God created is clean, there's a new type of disease now called AIDS. It's a bacterial organism, and it's alive. You think it's a good disease?
No, not quite.
I'm not trying to embarrass you, okay? Just trying to make a point.
Right.
There's many types of earthworms and other abominable things that are disgusting and are no good for you, and parasites. You think those are good to eat?
No, sir.
Okay, there's the point, okay? Every creature of God is good and can be sanctified through the word of God and through prayer.
Uh-huh.
You see, remember it says it is sanctified by the word of God. Well, what does the Old Testament sanctify? The clean foods.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but thank you so much, because that is a very big controversial thing.
Right, that's why I was just kind of wondering. That's why, you know, I wanted to get that clarified.
Yeah, but remember now, you can eat it if you want to eat it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you can pray over it and you can... But let me ask you a question. Now, Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan to break God's natural law of gravity by jumping off the temple, did he do it?
No.
No, that's right.
Hmm.
I know it's touchy. I know it's pretty tough. But you remember, you can do what you want to do, but you know, you bear within yourselves the consequences.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, let me say one thing, Tom. I believe that if we were stranded somewhere in a desert island somewhere, and you know, we had no food to eat, and something just happened to come up on the beach or whatever, and we ate it, and it may have not been a clean or clean food, I believe that God in that instance could sanctify it and totally cleanse it. I believe that with all my heart.
Explain again what it means there by every creature of God.
Every creature of God is good. Well, you think swine is a creature of God? You think that's a good creature as far as when the Old Testament says over
and
over?
But it doesn't say good there. It just says every creature of God. It doesn't say anything about good or bad.
Well, in the King James, it says for everything God created or every creature of God is good.
Is good. Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Can you see that it's very subtle? You have to really study the scripture to look
mm-hmm.
at it. And again, that's one of those little verses that just, you know, kind of throw a wrench in everything. But we have to look at God as being consistent. Okay? God is the same as he was yesterday, today, and forever. So why would he contradict himself?
Somehow I have a feeling there that that has really thrown a lot of us off mm-hmm. because we say, well, whatever it is, if I pray over it, God's going to cleanse it. And it's not going to hurt me.
Jesus wouldn't do it when he threw himself off the temple. He refused to set himself up to test God.
Some of us, though, look at that as a spiritual law, whereas food's a totally different category.
Remember, in Acts chapter 15, when they told the Gentile believers what to do, three of the four categories consisted of food. Now, we have to look at something else here, too. Heart disease, diabetes, and cancer are the number one killers in this country, and they've all been directly related to diet. There's no differentiation between Christians who have heart disease, diabetes, or cancer, or non-Christians. They're all equal, which means that the statistics are the same.
Do you feel like throughout the church, perhaps, that this is one area that has really been neglected?
Well, I think that so often we are so scared about becoming legalistic
mm-hmm.
and having labels put upon our certain denominations that we tend to let's not talk about that area because that's too controversial. Let's dwell on the area that we're all sure of and that we can agree on, because there's, you know, 99% of the word we can all agree on. There's certain things, though, as far as like clean and unclean foods that we have problems with. And so many times what a lot of churches have done that I have seen is they tend to say, well, let's not talk about that right now. And see, what they do is they try to put, and a lot of people have done this, they've tried to base salvation upon the Old Testament dietary laws, and that is not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're saved by faith through grace, period, through the love of Jesus. Jesus himself presented himself as a perfect sacrifice for us. And it's through him that we're saved, not by what we eat. So again, as this gal had called in, if you feel as though you can pray over it and eat it, just do what you want to do, but I know where my convictions stand.
All right, let's go back to the phone. It's 21 now before 11 o'clock. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I'm calling from Lakeland. The speaker said something other about the animals being killed by shock. Okay, I worked with three major packing plants in the last 30 years. The animals were all stunned and immediately stabbed in the neck. Their jugular vein was cut. None of them was killed by shock, or none of them was killed by a gun. Now, the pork themselves was lifted up by one of the hind legs and stabbed. It was not stunned whatsoever. And the beef was just stunned, and then was the jugular vein was cut.
Yes, sir.
Blood was all let because the animals was all lifted up by their hind legs. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that comment. Now, I've never worked in a packing house, obviously, and all I have to go on is the information and the data that I've read according to all the books that I've read. Now, I do know that as far as when you stun an animal, you inhibit the central nervous system. And when you stun an animal either by electrical shock, which you say they don't use, which is fine, I'm not trying to compete with you on that. If they don't use it, great. Okay? But I do know that they are stunned, and when they're stunned to the head or to the base of the neck or wherever they stun them, it inhibits the autonomic and the central nervous system. The heart cannot function properly. Nothing works properly, and a lot of the tissue is permeated with blood, and it's been proven over and over again. If this is not true, why is it when you go buy yourself a piece of London round beef and you lay it in the sink to thaw that when you get up in the morning, the pan's full of blood?
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that not all packing houses operate the way...
No, this man... that's right. And, you know, the same thing with pork. The pork itself, the tissue, the flesh of the animal, not the blood, is actually bad. And so, you know, that's what you have to look at. Again, remember, we talked about Kerry Reams and his work on reserve energy quotients, and he showed that when you eat unclean foods, and the reason he said that happened is because he said that they are too volatile for our bodies. Our bodies were not designed to eat them or to consume them, and when they are ingested into the human tissue, they're digested too quickly. And when that happens, it causes an immediate loss of reserve energy because of the digestion process and what happens. Now, I'm not even trying to pretend like I understand everything that Kerry Reams, you know, went into as far as physiology and biochemistry, but all I know is he's one of the noted scientists in the world. And he talked about his studies on reserve energy. And that's what we have to go with. And again, we also have to go with what the Word of God says. And if the Word of God says in the Old Testament, do not eat pork, then I have to go with the Word of God rather than meat packers who are making their living by pork and other processed foods.
All right, back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Yes, a while ago you mentioned unclean animals. And did you mention rabbit?
Yes, ma'am. Rabbit is unclean.
Does it make any difference if it's raised domestically off the ground away from its waste?
No, ma'am. Again, remember, what we're talking about here is the ability of the body to digest it and reduction in reserve energy. And I'm sure God, being a biochemist, knew all this, and he's the one who decided to put it together this way. And as far as, you know, going into detail with it, you'll have to go to a higher authority. Just have to ask the Lord about that and let him, you know, convict you and yourself. Because all I know is that I will not eat unclean food because the Old Testament says it's unclean, and that's how I feel about it.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for calling. It's 18 now before 11 o'clock. Phone lines are still open this morning at 858-3805. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I understand that this whole thing you just sell Shackley products. Is that true?
No, sir. We carry like six different companies of products. We haven't even talked about our office this morning. We're talking about clean and unclean foods.
I know you are, but I mean, you have an office over there where you sell Shackley products. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We carry Shackley products, and we carry five other companies of products also. We don't just carry Shackley products, sir.
Okay, so what you're doing is basically at that office, you're selling vitamins?
No, sir. We do complete body chemistry screening. We do nutritional counseling. We do a lot of other things, sir. But that right now, if you want to call our office and get more information on that, we'd really appreciate it if you'd call our office, because we're talking about clean and unclean foods this morning, sir.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, because somebody told me to go over to your office there that you had all these different products.
Well, yes, sir, we carry six different companies of products, and we can do body, but I don't want to do... Okay, our phone number at our office is 956-2733, but we'll talk about that later on in the show, because right now we're trying to finish the clean and unclean foods survey. But thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
17 now before 11 o'clock, and before we go back to the phone, let's move on in the material that you have.
Okay. So, Tom, so what we're looking at this morning, and again, I want to make sure that listeners understand what we're saying, is I used to eat pork, okay? In fact, as I mentioned to you before, I've drunk it up to 18 cups of coffee a day myself. I've done all kinds of things to my body that are no good. Okay, because I thought, well, we can do whatever we want to do to our system. We're saved by faith through grace. By the time that I was 25 years of age, my body was falling apart. I had severe allergies. I was extremely overweight. and I couldn't understand what had happened to my body. But then when I started looking at God's Old Testament laws and the way that we're supposed to eat, I've lost 40 pounds, and I feel a whole lot better, just like the gal who had called in a few minutes ago said.
What would you say to someone that's listening this morning and saying, well, this is just Ted's personal convictions. It doesn't mean anything to me. If he doesn't want to eat it, he doesn't have to eat it.
That's great. I'm not trying to pass anything upon anyone else. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not trying to put anyone into bondage. All I'm simply saying is the things that we found out about pork, I'm just simply showing you exactly, you know, what the Old Testament says about it. Because, again, as Hosea says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge.
All right. Let's take another caller. It's 16 before 11. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes.
Good morning. I am very glad this morning that such a program is being aired. Because, you know, too many Christians take for granted that because the Old Testament, we're living in the New Testament time, that the dietary law and, they, of course, they still apply the moral law, but they do believe that the dietary law was being abolished. And there are so many preachers on the radio today who are telling them that the Old Testament is complete, is abolished, you know. And I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
yes, ma'am, we hear you.
And, just exactly what you're talking about on the radio. This is the type of diet that we live by. And, before I became a Christian any at all, I used to eat everything. When I say everything, I mean lobster, crab, everything really, apart from possums and all that crap. I'm originally from the West Indies, and we eat a lot of seafood. And I can say, since I stopped eating all these things, you know, and doing exactly what God said I should do for my body, I'm much healthier. I run 3 jobs. I take care of 4 children, and I exercise. I have no aches, no cramps. I mean, what you eat is what make you. I'm also a licensed cosmetologist, and I lecture on hair through diet.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a vast difference with the people that eat pork and drink coffee and drink alcohol, you know, in the hair structure. You know, comparing to those that eat clean.
Right.
And I would like to say this morning while I'm on the air to Christians that we are a particular people. And whatever Jesus did is what we should do. Jesus ate clean and we should eat clean also. And today, if we had followed the dietary law all the way, we wouldn't have any problems. It's sad that when you listen to Christians today, they have so many excuses why they eat pork, why they, you know, eat the way they eat, because some people are so ignorant, they go back to the book of Acts where, you know, Peter had the vision,
mm-hmm.
and they would want to tell you that the unclean things were beef when God was speaking the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, and I really must say that I'm really happy that there is such a program aired this morning.
And we appreciate
God's
you calling in.
Ought to be a particular people in everything we do.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, ma'am. Let's, why that was brought up on Acts chapter 10, let's go over that real quick, because I know a lot of people are saying, well, in Peter's vision, let me read it to you real quick. Acts chapter 10, verse 11. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and the birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not I, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Now, if you read over here in Acts chapter 10, verses 28, Peter explains his vision. He says, "He said to them, 'You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean.'" He didn't say anything about animals. "Is any man impure or unclean? So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Now, verse 34 says the same thing. "Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right.'"
In other words, he had separated himself from Gentiles because they were, quote, unclean just
that's
like
right.
animals.
That's right. That's how he associated. They were just like animals. And God said, "Don't call any man unclean." Didn't say in here, "Don't call any of the unclean animals clean." He didn't say that.
Hmm.
He said, "Don't call any man unclean." And see, this is what we have to realize, that a lot of times we stop the scripture, you know, right at the end, and before the person who's quoting the scripture, who's writing the scripture, has a chance to explain in detail exactly what was meant by the scripture. And a lot of Christians do that. They take everything out of context, and pretty soon they end up hanging themselves You know, like the Bible says, Judas went out and hung himself. And another verse says, go ye and do likewise. Well, you can make it say whatever you want to say. But the thing you have to do is you have to look at what the total scripture says. And remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He would not change his word. He never has and he never will. All of the Old Testament laws were never rebuked. They were only fulfilled. Now, one thing let me mention. Now, this is the biggest problem we've had when we've had people come in the office for dietary counseling, is especially among Christians. They say, but Ted, you know, I can't smoke, I can't drink, I can't, you know, use any kind of language that I shouldn't use, I can't go to R-rated movies, all I got left is fellowship and food. I mean, now you're telling me that I can't eat that. And I say, wait a minute, in Timothy it says that we're born of a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind or of self-discipline, according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And see, so many times we tend to say our happiness is equated to the food that we eat. And it's not. The happiness that we have comes within through a personal inner relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, not through what we put into our bodies, the food.
And sometimes we have a tendency too, and it's unfortunate, to do all that we can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll say, well, if it's not real clear in the Bible, apparently it's permissible, which is exactly the language that uses about the food.
That's right.
It's permissible, but it's not beneficial.
That's exactly right. So, again, I'm not trying to say that the only way we're going to go to heaven, and please forgive me for beating a dead horse, Tom, but I've got to make sure people, because I've always get misquoted on this
you
stuff.
You can't eat horse meat either.
No, horse meat's no good. You're right, Tom. And, but, you know, we can eat what we want to eat, and we can get to heaven. We just end up getting there a lot faster, because what we end up doing is breaking God's natural laws. And those of you who don't agree with me, just look at it. Just take it again from a simple perspective. If you eat pork all day long and don't eat anything but pork with all the high fat and all the parasites and everything else, can you live out a complete life? Can you live to be 100 when your body's full of cholesterol and fat? You see, that's the way you have to look at these things. So what we're trying to do is, if you have a meal and you have a choice between eating clean and unclean food, go with the clean food. What difference does it make? It's not going to hurt you. In fact, it's going to help you in the long run. If you've got a choice between a high-fat food or a low-fat food, go with the low-fat food. If you've got a choice between eating ice cream and candy and cake or eating fruit as a dessert, go with the fruit. And I promise you, your weight problems will go away too. You know, the thing that so many people fight with in weight is because of the high-fat foods. Fat, because of the way it's metabolized by the body, can be converted and stored into fat very quickly by the human tissue. Carbohydrates, on the other hand, fruits and grains and nuts and seeds, etc., cannot be converted that easily into fat and cannot be deposited into the body that quickly. And so it's kind of frustrating to me that people continually eat the wrong kinds of foods. And I see it in my office all the time, because we'll help somebody out with some counseling and specific types of foods that they should and shouldn't eat. And they'll come in, they'll say, well, I can't stay off the salt. I have to have my salt. And I say, but your salt levels, according to our, you know, screen, is 10 times above normal. And they say, but you don't understand, I've got to eat salt. Well, salt is one quick thing, and let me share this with you real quick. It tends to dehydrate the walls of the colon. A person who has a high salt level in their diet almost always has constipation problems, because the colon can't work properly. It's just a fact. Now, before we get any further, I've got to make a couple of announcements real quick. We're going to be having an area-wide meeting for Orange County in Kissimmee at Osceola Baptist Church on March the 11th. Okay, it'll be a free meeting. It'll be a nutrition meeting. We're going to go into more detail on the scriptures and different things about heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. You can call Danny Hayes, at Osceola Baptist Church. The church number is area code 305-847-3732. I repeat that, 305-847-3732. In addition to that, next week I'll be speaking on the Action 60 show on March the 5th from 10 to 11 in the morning, and from 6 to 7 at night. We'll be talking about scripturally clean and unclean foods and Old Testament dietary laws again, and also we'll be going over basic nutrition that Christians should be aware of also.
And that's on Channel 22.
That'll be on Channel 22 next week on March the 5th, and again on March the 11th at Osceola Baptist Church in Kissimmee.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have just 7 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like to know, I've always considered chickens almost as a scavenger, and yet I know that they're considered a clean food. Could he discuss something on that, or is there a reason why?
Yes, you know, chickens, if they're raised properly and they're left out because of the gizzard and everything else that they have, they tend to process the food a lot more slowly and stuff than a hog does, and they're okay to eat. But you've got to remember, a lot of the chickens that are given to us, according to the FDA, are pretty sick animals. In fact, there was a show 2020 last year, and it showed that down in Puerto Rico they'd eaten a lot of beef and a lot of chicken, and it was so ingested with hormones and estrogen that to make it grow and to make it strong and make it big, that the hormone level was passed into the tissue of the people eating it, and little 3 and 4 year old boys developed the breasts of full grown women. These are boys now. And their breasts actually developed because of all the female hormones that were pumped into their tissue from the unclean meat, because of all the hormones that were in the meat. Also, if you buy a chicken, make sure you always buy a whole fryer and not parts of a chicken, because let's say if a chicken is slaughtered and they find that it has tumors and cancer tumors all over its breasts, okay, the breasts can be cut off and the legs and everything else can be sold as meat to us to eat. Okay, so make sure if you buy chicken, you always buy a whole chicken, because a whole chicken cannot be sold if any part of it has tumors on it.
In other words, you're better off to raise your own.
You're better off to raise your own. Yes, ma'am, you are.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Just about 5 minutes now left in this morning's program. Go ahead, please.
I just want to thank God for the program because of the simple fact that I know what he's talking about eating the wrong ways. I used to suffer with a bad skin disease. And, I mean, I used to break out all over and everything, couldn't even come into the sun. But it was introduced to me by a man as far as how to eat. And I started reading his book, Back to Eating, and it was telling me about the different foods and everything. And as soon as I got into that and started eating properly, everything started working right. And now I'm in Florida. I used to couldn't even come in the sun. But now I'm in the sunny state, and I just thank God for this message, because I had started, like you said, from Christians talking and talking, started back eating little things, and now I'm starting to break out. My little face is starting to break out and everything and stuff like that. But I just thank God, you know, that he sent this message. He know what we be needing, you know, and when we need it. And you just keep on preaching that, because people need to hear it, you know what I mean? Because we are God's temple, like you say, you know. And I'd like to get the address so I can send for the booklet. And it has the scriptures on the booklet?
Yes, ma'am, it does. And I want you to know that I really appreciate your input this morning and your sincerity. And it's because of people like you who openly receive God's word through the Old Testament and New Testament that it makes the ministry that I'm in worthwhile.
Amen.
And let me go ahead and give you our address. Our address is 2700 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida. Now, what we put together is a little bit more comprehensive packet than we've ever used before. We've got a cassette tape in it. We've got a nutrition booklet on it. We've got lists of clean and unclean foods. We have varied copies on different types of foods you should and shouldn't eat. Now, because of the extensiveness of the packet, we will have to charge for it this time. And so if you could just please send $5, you know, as a tax-deductible gift or whatever you want to do with it. I don't know if it's tax-deductible or not. Tom, I better not say that, because we're not a non-profit organization. But if you want to go ahead and send that to us, we'll be more than happy to send you a complete information pack, including cassette tape. And I think that'll be a lot better for most people concerning, you know, the things that they want.
Let's take one last call this morning. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a new Christian, and I've been listening this morning. And I've really felt convicted lately about a lot of the things that I eat, and I have a bad habit of drinking a lot of cola every day and stuff like that. And I was just wondering, do you think it's healthier to be a vegetarian than to eat meat at all?
Well, as far as a vegetarian, you know, a little bit of meat's not going to hurt you. But again, in America, we consume far too great a quantity of protein and of fat. If you eat chicken or fish, you know, several times a week, there's no problem with that. But, you know, if you make every meat a high-protein meat meal or whatever, you know, every meal that you eat is high-protein, it's just not that healthy for you to eat that way. And if you know how to combine your foods properly, and if you're interested in more information on that, you can, you know, give our office a call again at 956-2733, and we'll be happy to get you some information out on that, too.
Okay, and also, I have 3 children, and my whole family consumes a lot of cola. Do you think that's really bad, and should you cut it out completely?
Each cola, ma'am, each 12-ounce soft drink that you consume has 10 teaspoons of sugar in it. Okay? I know people who consume 10 colas a day, which is 100 teaspoons of sugar. Now, you know as well as I do that the pancreas can only function so long with that amount of sugar being shoved into it. Juvenile diabetes has gone off the board in this country because of the high sugar intake, and we need to be very careful. The most important thing that you can get your family to drink is steam distilled water. And so if I were you, yes, I do believe it makes a definite detriment to your health to consume a high amount of cola drinks, and I would suggest that you simply get your family on steam distilled water. I wouldn't put them on a lot of fruit juice either, because sometimes the fruit juice releases the sugar or the glucose into the system too fast, and it'll tend to elevate sugar also. But I definitely do suggest to you that you get them off the colas.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yes,
thank you,
ma'am,
for calling. Just 2 minutes left. Unfortunately, that will be the last call we'll take this morning. I want to give you the last couple of moments for any closing comments.
Tom, our ministry is expanding, and, you know, as the one lady said, we're seeking new qualified people that we can teach and train to become ministers of health. And I know that a lot of people say, well, what does this mean to us? Well, what we're looking for is people that we can train from each congregation and teach them and train them in the proper ways of eating. It's not complicated, it's not detailed. We have a 6-week training course if people are interested. tested, and we desperately are looking for new people because we're expanding so quickly that I simply can't keep up with the workload because of the calls and the people coming to our office. So if anybody is interested in that in any of the surrounding areas, we please ask you to give our office a call, and we'll send you some information on that. And we appreciate each and every one of your listeners, Tom, and we just want everybody to know that we love them and that we appreciate you and this radio and this ministry. And we just ask that everybody seeks God's will in his or her life and just go back to the Word of God, which is infallible, and use that as a template and as a reference to what they should and shouldn't eat, and for their own personal convictions also.
If you would, in the last less than a minute now, mention again the location and time in, I think it was Osceola County. Mm-hmm.
Osceola Baptist Church on March the 11th. You can give them a call at 305-847-3732. This is a countywide Orange County meeting, and it'll be a complete and total nutrition program. Probably lasts 2 or 3 hours that evening.
All right.
And it'll be a good seminar.
And had you mentioned another date as well?
Yes, March the 5th on Action 60s. We'll be on that show with Herman Bailey.
All right.
Okay.
Ted, we appreciate you joining us.
Tom, we appreciate you, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Unless otherwise stated during today's program, cassette copies of the broadcast are available by writing Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenters Way, Lakeland, Florida, 33805. Be certain to mention today's date when you write. The address again is Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenters Way, Lakeland, Florida, 33805. Opinions expressed on Feedback are not necessarily those of WCIE.